Welcome to Uncover Wealth Radio episode 127. This is Business Money and is an interview that Angela McCall did with me for her YouTube channel. So let's dive in.
So I am here tonight with the lovely Annette, who is going to be talking to us all about our business money matters with regards to how we can manage our cash flow and organise our financial affairs a little bit more easier when it's just sort of ourselves really in the business, or we are a small business owner and operator. Because often we have that moment where the cash comes in one hand and it goes out straight away to pay the other. And hopefully by the end of this sort of chat this afternoon, Annette's going to help us with a whole load of tips to resolve that. Over to you,
Annette. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. If you do have any questions as we go along, please, please do ask them in the comments. I will be looking at those and I'm more than happy to answer them. So I want to start off by speaking about a couple of things. So firstly, the difference between cash flow and cash management. Many, many people say, oh, I've got a cash flow problem, when in reality, often it's a cash management problem. And I'm going to explain what that means, because cash flow is timing. So having a cash flow problem means you're waiting for money to be received in from somebody and they're not paying on time. That can cause a cash flow problem. But a cash management issue tends to be linked to, let's say, overspending or perhaps, you know, the kind of shiny object syndrome that often can happen in our businesses. So today I want to speak about how to get over that. And I also want to speak as well about how to know how much you should be taking out the business so that your business is still financially healthy and financially viable as well. So there are two big things that I want to cover off today. So I want to also start by sharing with you a book, which happens to be close at hand for me. This book is called Profit First. It is by Mike Malkowitz. If you have not read this book, I highly, highly recommend that you do. It is all about cash management in your business. So a really, really good book to read if you are starting to feel like, hang on a minute, I should probably get a little bit of a better handle on my business finances. And by the way, that's most people, particularly when they're starting out. And I know that finances and money can be a really scary thing. And people can think, well, I was no good at maths at school. I don't like speaking about money. I feel really uncomfortable. But you don't ever meet any business owner who has had financial success, however you might define that, who is scared of money, who is scared of speaking about money, and who is scared about, you know, dealing with money in their business. So it's really, really important that you understand how to work with money in your business and what to look at and what to track and all those kind of good things. Okay. So
do you have some ideas of regards to what sort of things to actually track and like almost like, let's put it this way, a checklist kind of strategy for people like me?
Absolutely. So the key things that you want to be aware of, one is your bank balance, quite honestly, because that is, I've heard even for a lot of people, is a scary thing sometimes to look at. So making sure that you understand how much cash your business has at any point in time is incredibly important. You know, cash is what drives our businesses at the end of the day. The other numbers you want to be keeping a track of and an eye on are, of course, revenue, but probably more importantly, profit. Because profit is what helps determine your take home. And if your business isn't profitable, you can't have money in your own bank account at the end of the day. You don't have money for you and your families to enjoy if you're not running a profitable business. So that takes us to the question of, well, how on earth do you run a profitable business? And the first thing is to ensure that you have no, what I like to call, money leaks in your business. So how you do this is basically a quick exercise that I have for you. Well, it's not actually that quick. I mean, it's quite quick for me to describe. It takes a little bit of time for you to actually do, but I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do set aside some time to do it. And what I want you to do is gather together the last 12 months business, bank, and credit card statements, or anywhere where you have business spending. So gathering those together, it's way easier if you print this out, but you can do it electronically as well. I'm going to describe to you how you do it. You print it out. So you print them all out and you get this big stack of paper. Not great for the trees, I understand, but you have this big stack of paper and you pick up a red pen and a highlighter and you sit down and you might want to grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine, depending on the time of day, and then go through every single line, every single item in the expenses, one by one by one, every single item. And first of all, with the red pen in your hand, be asking yourself, is this expense 100% necessary to keep the proverbial lights on in my business? Could I operate my business without this expense? And I don't mean like, oh, but it's really handy or it's really good to have. I mean, is it absolutely 100% necessary in my business? And if the answer is yes, you can circle that. And you go through every single one, line by line, item by item, month by month. And of course, some things you're going to be asking yourself that question 12 times because you've got it monthly. But that's okay. So every single one. Then once you got to the end of the pile, I want you to flip the pages back over to the beginning again and take your highlighter this time. And this time you're going to go through again, item by item, line by line by line, and ask yourself this question. Is this expense delivering me a positive financial return on my investment? Or is it delivering me more time and freeing me up to be more revenue generating?
Oh, okay. I'm with you. Yes, because that's half the battle, I think, is the fact that you've got to balance out your time, because you can always earn the more money, but you can't always earn back time that you've lost because you're putting your efforts into the wrong things.
Completely. So again, item by item by item, line by line with the highlighter. And wait, if you answer yes to that positive return for money or time, then highlight it. And then you've got this, now you've got basically this stack of paper with some things that are circled, some are highlighted, and some maybe both. And that's okay too. And then you've got this list of other stuff, which has no markings against it. And so the other stuff is not 100% necessary to run your business, and it's not delivering you a positive return. So the question with the other stuff is, what's the purpose of it?
Okay.
And the answer is, they're nice to haves usually.
Okay.
So it's okay to have nice to haves in our business. That's not a problem. But recognizing that the more nice to haves you have in your business, the less money you have in your personal bank account as a result. There's a direct correlation there, because it's a balance. You know, you have the money in and the money goes out, and the money either goes out to these nice to haves or it comes to your personal bank account. And understanding that that is a choice you are making in your business can really help in terms of the clarity of what you want to achieve in your business versus the clarity of where you want to do and what you want to do in your personal life as well. And that's incredibly important. Now, for most of you listening, in terms of, okay, so what should I be left with in my personal bank account? What should I be making personally for my business? For most people watching, for most businesses, because I know Angela has told me typically, you know, where you guys kind of sit and what you do. For most of you, it's going to be 50% take home that you want. 50% of your revenue is what you're wanting to aim for in your take home. So when you do this money leaks exercise, having a look to see how much money you have freed up can be really interesting as well, to see, okay, am I at that place where 50% of my revenue I'm actually able to take home? It can also really help with your planning. So if you are looking at future projections and saying, okay, and by the way, you should be looking at future projections. Again, I know that is something.
I think that's actually how we cross paths initially. Because I was trying to work out the math and I'm like, I don't know what math to actually be doing. So that's, yeah.
Exactly. So one thing I highly, highly recommend everyone does is what I call a profit plan, which is basically a forecast, but making sure you're profitable and looking at the future and saying, okay, what do I need to achieve next month in revenue? If I want my take home to be 5K, I need to be generating 10K revenue. If I want my take home to be 5K, you know, or if I want my, you know, take home to be 1K, I need to be generating at least 2K revenue. The numbers, the scale doesn't particularly matter. You can be a startup at the very beginning and have very small revenue, but you want to be taking home that 50% and you want to get into that habit of doing that. You know, many people say to me, oh, I'm not taking money out of my business just now, you know, because I'm a startup, I can't do that, or I'm reinvesting everything into my business. There's a couple of things to be aware of with that. If you're a startup, you can take money home from your business. That's allowed. It's not against the rules. You're absolutely allowed to be profitable from the beginning. And you can do if you're very clear on the money leaks position and you are making sure that everything is aligned.
Can I just jump in there? So obviously I get the whole 50% thing if I'm a one person business, but what sorts of happens? How does that percentage change? Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
I do. Okay. So, for example, if you're in a partnership and you have a two-person business, then that 50% bucket gets split between two of you.
Oh, so it's still 50%.
It's still 50% gets taken out, but then it needs to get divvied up between the number of people.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does, essentially.
You always put it into a bucket. You say, okay, well, here's the 50%, you know, owners pay take home. It's now in a bucket to be divvied up amongst however many owners there are, however many directors or partners there are.
And what about like with regards to if you had a couple of staff or, I mean, with regards to things like, obviously a lot of small business owners end up outsourcing a lot of tasks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with regards to the 50% that is the costs of the business, I take it that the people that they're outsourcing to, that would be covered as a business expense. And so that would be part of it. But that's not coming out of their salary.
That's not coming out of your pot. No.
But what about if you start employing people? So maybe, I don't know, husband and wife team. I once had a set of clients that were landscape gardeners and they used to do a lot of fencing and like gazebos and things like that. And they had a couple of like three or four lads, husband and wife team. She did all books, organizing all the bookings and dealt with the clients. He was like sort of Tom, Dick and Harry manager, but he actually got his lads doing everything for him. So how would that work in that kind of a business of that structure?
You still want to be doing that. You still want to be taking out 50% for owner's pay. And the other 50% that's left gets divvied up amongst team spend, general operating expenses and tax.
So the team spend, so the lads in that sense would become part of the business expense. Not
they would. The lads are part of the business.
Okay. So the 50% that is literally the profit for the owners, that is literally the directors of the business, but the rest of it is a business expense. So even if you're employing three or four people, those three or four people are a business expense and they're not coming out the same 50% as you.
Completely.
I think that's where I needed the clarity there. So thank you there. That makes a lot more sense.
That's all right. And you know, that kind of 50% holds true up to a revenue level of around about 150,000, that will still hold true, that percentage. Now, as you get above that, it's going to start decreasing. So between sort of 150 to about 300, it's going to come down to about 40%. And as you get beyond that, it will decrease again. But that, you know, that percentage does hold pretty true for you know, a good
pretty
slot.
Much the entire audience
of for most people that are listening, that percentage is gonna work for you guys. You also of course want to make sure that you are setting aside money for tax. I alluded to that as well. Yes. That's incredibly important and it's something that people either they start doing and they get really good at, and then at some point something comes up and they decide to steal all the money back from the tax account that they've set up. They started with very good intentions and then something happened and they're like, oh, I'm just going to take all that back again.
Yeah.
That gives you a really big problem come tax payment time. And that's not a nice place to be in. So, you know, I highly recommend that on a weekly basis, business owners take a percentage of what they've received and they siphon it off into a separate savings account for tax. and they just keep squirreling away. Now, the percentage will depend a little bit. How the business is operating. But typically, you're going to look at 10-ish percent of revenue as being what you want to squirrel away for tax purposes.
So essentially now what we've got, so of our 100% revenue coming in, we've got 50% for the owners, the 50% for the business, but obviously of that 50%, technically it's 50% for the business and 10%. Yeah, I got you. So it's it's 10, 40 and now 50. I'm with
it. It is. Yeah, exactly. And again, the amount that you put to team will depend on a lot of things. It will very much depend on the business model. And it will depend on the size of the business as well, because of course, as you grow in scale, you know, you vary how much you spend on team. So that's harder to kind of put in a bucket without knowing a business. But typically what we do is, and you guys can do this as well, is we build out the forecast with all that in mind. So when we're looking at, okay, what does the next 12 months hold for a business? We say, okay, well, these are the costs, these are the expenses. This is my take home that I'm going to achieve. This is the revenue. Okay, what needs to go where? What do we have available for team? What don't we have? What do we need team-wise to service this planned revenue? And actually looking at all the pieces of the puzzle. And when you're doing that and building that out, you can actually calculate the tax off the actual profit at that point, or the forecasted profit at that point as well. So you can get, you know, you can get more granular with this as well if you wanted to, or you can leave that bit to your accountant, of course, who would hopefully then just do it and go through it with you. That would be the plan.
That would be lovely.
But of course, some people, you know, they don't have the budget to do that, or they want to do it themselves, or whatever that is. And I highly recommend that you then have a look at actually planning it out in the numbers. Even if you are scared of numbers, you can do this on a piece of paper if you want to. It doesn't have to be on Excel. If that is something that frightens you, you can absolutely do it on a piece of paper.
Okay, so sort of jumping in here, just from like the perspective that obviously I've had like 20, I think it's a 23 years of working for myself, and literally I've had a 2-year timeout while I sort of had a break from life, shall we say. So obviously this year, let's just take my business as an example, because I'm essentially a startup again, although I'm not mentally a startup, because obviously this is what I've done for my life. But if we take me as an example, because then people can relate to the sort of the transition of where I am on my journey. One of the first things that I did at Christmas when I decided that I was going to go down this route is I actually worked out for myself personally, as a house with two kids and all the rest of it, what my actual sort of get by cost is versus my sort of comfortable life cost, and as well as an ideal target by the end of the year kind of cost. Yes. So I've kind of got like a bare minimum survival average and like a sort of a top level compared to where I am now starting out. Obviously, 2 or 3 years from now, this will be a different set of numbers. Of course. But from that, essentially, if other people watching this was to take the same approach, that would give them sort of almost three different figures to then double in order to work out their, so they would also from their business then start to be able to forecast
absolutely
what they need to achieve, as in a bare minimum to get their business surviving and paying their lifestyle, where they get food on the table and, you know, can pay for the school trips and things. But then they've also got the luxuries, days out, meals with their family, and then you've got the holidays and things that come on top.
Exactly. So
Is that essentially what you teach people to do?
That is exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it also gives you targets. So you can, you know, if you are somebody who is driven by targets, I know that not everyone is, but if you are someone who is, actually it gives you targets that you can then put in place, and you can say, okay, in 6 months, I want to hit that target. In 8 months, I want to hit that target. And actually you can then start to plan out. But then the important bit, of course, is looping back to the action that gets the revenue result. So actually making sure that the actions you are taking are then the ones that are going to be generating the revenue.
Money.
And that's a really important step that that can get kind of mushed up in this whole process as
What I'm going to throw in and add there is something that I've actually taught. Now, this is, I don't necessarily do the accounting side of things, but from the business operational side of things, I think something that's really important to say there is that once you've got these kind of forecasts type figures, and you kind of know what you financially need to do. The other thing that I think a lot of businesses fail to do is actually correlate that into the time and hours they have in their business. So for example, let's just say myself at the moment got two young girls, so I want to fit in my life and my business within a 25-hour working week, for example, during the school hours. Okay, so if I was to correlate that back and then I divided that as to how many clients I can actually serve, so let's say I'm building a website, I know roughly how many hours a site takes, this, that and the other. I can start to multiply the tasks, time taken for that investment, and the number of clients, and then that will start to give me an idea of what I should be charging. And of course, what I should be charging in order to survive as a financial business and entity can often be a lot different to what I'm actually charging my clients, because maybe I've not got my target audience aligned with my business objectives. But it's not knowing actually what that process is that leaves people with this kind of cash flow struggle, because they end up thinking, oh god, you know, I can't do 25 hours, what I have to do 50 hours, because obviously
I'm never going to reach my target, I'm never going to be able to service that number, therefore, you know, this business isn't working and things like that, when in actual fact it's often that situation or the business model or something that can be tweaked in order to get them to where they want to be. We find that many, many people, particularly small businesses, particularly solopreneurs, often are undercharging for the value they deliver to clients, because that is what it is. It is something valuable. And, you know, people are hiring you because they can't do it themselves, or they don't want to do it themselves. They don't have the time to do it themselves. And they place a value on that. And the value they place on that is probably much higher than the value that you're placing on it. And also, you know, if you are quoting people your prices and you are not getting any price pushback or only very, very minimal price pushback, then your prices are probably too low. They're probably lower than the person expected them to be. But even if you are getting people saying, oh, that's too expensive, remember that that's not always actually the case, because that's a really easy excuse for people to give rather than just them saying, I don't want to work with you. People will often say, oh, no, I can't afford it, as an easy out, because you don't have much of a pushback there. If somebody says, actually, I don't like the way that your method, then you could go, oh, well, wait, no, I've got proof that it's the best method. If somebody goes, that's way outside my budget, then
you know it's a dump. Yeah.
You don't have you don't have anything you can say. So be really careful if you're listening to people who are giving you pushback on price, because it may not actually be about price. And also, if one person gives you pushback on price, that doesn't mean your price is wrong. It means if you speak to 100 people and they all say, no, the price is incorrect in some way, then you've got a problem. If it's one or two, you don't have a problem yet. You haven't spoken to enough people. So understanding the data on that is really important as well. So, and with anything in your business, understanding the data, not just the monetary numbers, but the other numbers, understanding what they're telling you, but making sure that you have a big enough sample size, for want of a better word, to base those decisions on as well, is really important.
I think one of the things that I like to sort of help people with regards to, because the whole ethos about my business this time around is actually digitalizing people's products or their knowledge rather, in order to create products and obviously put that on an automated sales funnel type process, so that they've got this strategy and this income coming in. So I think one of the things that that a lot of people struggle with is the fact that they often judge what they cost by what they can afford themselves. And I know I've done it myself loads of times, and I've even been aware that I'm doing it, but I still can't break that mindset. Do you have any kind of sort of strategies or anything for that? Or is that, again, just the fact that you need to sit down and maybe go through your costs and your profits and what you're planning to do with an accountant, with the numbers mixed that way?
There is that kind of planning aspect. I mean, there's also a sort of mindset aspect to it as well, in terms of that. And, you know, and it's the kind of standard mindset stuff. You know, are these thoughts serving me? Are these actually helping me to get to where I want to be? Are these thoughts true? I often say that to people as well. You know, what do you have? What evidence do you have to disprove the thought that you're having? Is there lots of evidence against it? And usually the answer is yes. We just don't necessarily want to have a look at that. So yeah, exactly. So, you know, that kind of thing can help as well if you're getting tied up in this knot. Also, remember, please don't use your competitors as a basis of how you should price. You have no idea if your competitor is going to go bust tomorrow. They could be quickly burning cash. They could have a trust fund behind them and for some reason be operating their business just for the fun of it and not care about profit at all. So, you know, please do not base prices on what your competitor is charging. You have no idea what your competitor's profit margin is. You have no idea if they can afford to put food on the table or not. So do not base your prices on that. And I know it then becomes difficult to price. And I know that you would look at them for a benchmark, but please don't go, well, that's what they're charging, so I'll do that too. Make sure you do your own sums on it as well.
I think that's a very good point. I've not really even thought about that before. But what I generally do is obviously explain to people about regards to if you're going to obviously sell something, you have to bring in how your worth and your value is personally. Because at the end of the day, if you had five people stood up, let's say accountants even, and I've got, you know, A, B, C, D, E, they all provide the same sort of level of accounting services for someone of my size. I'm still going to resonate with one of those particularly. And I think that's what a lot of people have to find a way of honing in on and selling, because there is something about that person or company B, for example, that is going to be the right fit for me. And finding that is not necessarily easy, but that is exactly what you have to do in order to be able to win this, not win the sale, but obviously explain to people your worth and why you are charging what you're charging.
So yeah, and most of the time it comes down to communication, actually. Communication and relationships, the vast majority of the time.
I think that's true. I think that's very true. I have got, look, just to prove, I don't know where I'm going here today. I can't even find the camera, but I have made loads of notes today. I have really enjoyed today's session. And is there anything else you want to add that we haven't covered at all?
I think I've probably covered everything that I wanted to cover that I thought would be useful. I hope I've not overwhelmed people. I've given a lot of information.
I've enjoyed it.
Good.
If anything else, you've got one fan here. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions afterwards, please do just let me know in the comments and tag me so that I can come back and answer those as well.
That's definitely true. I was going to say, I'm just going to throw it up on screen there now as well. So obviously, if you are familiar with my videos, I do run the hashtag Ask McCall Media across all different social networks. And I have a Google alert sitting there listening in the background so that if anybody uses that, I get a little email in my inbox to go and check it out. So do use that if you've got any questions. And of course, I can always forward these on to Annette and we can always have her back in the future if needs be, if you'd like to come back.
More than happy to.
Okay, so that's wrapping it up for me today. I've had a blast. I think it's been brilliant that you've come on and joined us this evening. And I would really like to chat again with you in the future.
Me too. I would love to as well. I've had a great time. Thank you so much for having me, Angela. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's been fun.
Excellent. Okay, so if you want to find out more about Annette, I'm going to put her, once this video has finished, I will be putting her website address underneath all of the different various social media platforms that we've gone streamed out live to today. Mm-hmm. And it will also be on my blog post that will be on my website. So there's plenty of ways of finding her. And of course, you can always ask me in things like my Solopreneurs Club on Facebook. So that's it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed, Annette.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you do like what I share, please do come and subscribe to the podcast, perhaps even leave a review so that other people can find this podcast as well and benefit from everything that I am sharing. Also, if you enjoyed, I would love if you want to take a screenshot of this episode, share it out onto your social media platforms. If you do, please, please do tag me. I'm Annette_Fergs on both Twitter and Instagram. So if you tag me, I can come along, give you a follow, give you a like and some love over there as well. Until next time.